Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Welcome back to Overnight America. One last hour. I cannot believe it. Producer Mike's in there eating something out of a mug that says, live, laugh, love. Something like that. I don't want to admit this, but something happened before the holiday radio show that I'm not ashamed of, but I don't know if I'll ever be able to get this time back. So at the holiday radio show, there was a part of the script that said, people on the stage sing and I do a little dance, as in it's part of this dinner party and, you know, I get out of control in the sense that I give in to the feeling of it all and I start to dance based on their singing. Well, before the show, I decided to go on YouTube and try to learn a dance. I spent a half hour watching a guy try to teach me how to do a dance. And then when time came for the show, I was too embarrassed to do it. So I just kind of like moved around on stage and I looked pretty terrible. You know what song or what dance I tried to do was the Carlton dance from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I thought, you know, if I'm going to learn a dance, it's going to be that one. But then I learned that I can't dance. And even with instruction, I'm still terrible at it. Maybe I'll keep practicing. Maybe it takes more than 30 minutes to learn that dance, but maybe one day I'll be able to debut that, maybe by the holiday radio show next year. Here's the phone number, and we only have an hour left, and this is my last show of the year. I'm on vacation up until January 2nd. So if you want to say anything before 2020 hits, feel free to call in now. I'd love to hear from you at 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I'm on Twitter, too, at Ryan Recker. We've been posting up the hours as we have them, including our couple of hours with Larry Rice. And you can get that at KMOX.com/ONA. I only have a couple of things here, and I had a lot scheduled on the show today. And what I didn't end up actually getting to was the stupid talk show host in Denver. So there's a TV station, KDVR, did a pretty good write-up on it. I have some of them talking about it. But you want to hear what this Denver talk show host did? So it's the impeachment day, and they're talking about it. And, of course, they're thinking to themselves, we've done this, and we've been through this rodeo. Listen to his comments on air. This is at K-something-something-something. I can't remember what radio station it was. And it's not that big of a radio station. It's actually a pretty small radio station altogether. Just take a listen and see if you can find the controversy in this.
All right, Chuck Bono, Julie Aiden here a little after 1:30 talking about the never-ending impeachment of Donald Trump. You know, you wish for a nice school shooting to interrupt the monopoly.
Don't even say that. No, don't even say that. Don't call us. Chuck didn't say that.
No, which no one would be hurt. All right, let's go to Jim in Littleton. Jim, you're up.
You got to be kidding me. So that was from 710 KNUS. The show is called Chuck and Julie. It was the program. And I think they're married. Chuck and Julie are both married. And he goes out and says, you wish for a nice school shooting to interrupt the monotony. Hey boy. Who thinks that way, by the way? Who thinks to say that? That is just wrong on many levels. Well, they've been fired immediately. Here's KDVR.
Talking about the never-ending impeachment of Donald Trump.
And they start with the clip again.
A nice school shooting to interrupt the monopoly.
Don't even say that. No, don't even say that. Don't call us. Chuck didn't say that.
Which no one would be hurt.
Those are the controversial comments made by Chuck Bonnewell on 710 KNUS Tuesday afternoon. Tonight, the radio station confirms it's fired Bonnewell and his co-host and wife, Julie Hayden, saying, given the history of school violence that has plagued our community, 710 KNUS confirms that an inappropriate comment was made on the Chuck and Julie show by co-host Chuck Bonnewell. A programming decision was made to end the program immediately. That school violence includes a STEM school shooting that happened back in May and took the life of 18-year-old.
Yeah, and they mentioned this, but don't, this is close to Aurora. This is close to Columbine. It's a shame that they would even think that. And after all the tragedy that community has been through, why in the world would they think that was anywhere near appropriate? Now, his wife tried to step in. Reminds me of many other times when my wife has nervously stepped in and tried to get me to stop talking, but I've never said anything, far as I can remember, anything that terrible. But I know he was, listen, they posted it up online and they tried to at least give a comment and they said, we've relieved them immediately. They're not back on. They took them off the website. It was over. There was another thing that was interesting. He, as the host, apologized for it. In a statement, he said that it was just a joke, but it wasn't taken as a joke and he's sorry and this and that. It was just terrible all the way around. Yikes. So there goes an opening. If anyone was thinking about doing a talk show, KNUS has an opening. Let's go to Rick in St. Louis. Hi, Rick.
Hi there, Ryan. This is Rick.
Good to hear from you again.
Yeah, I understand this is going to be your last night till the 2nd of January.
I know. I get almost 2 full weeks off. Wow.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to be in Baltimore, leave Thursday morning, and head off for Baltimore, and I'm not going to be back until the 4th of January.
Oh, that's right. Wow, you're going to get to go and see the fiance?
Oh, yeah.
Very good. That's exciting.
Yeah.
So you got your bags packed?
Well, I'll be doing that around Christmas time because I got a whole lot of stuff to do this next week. I got held up on a few things but due to the snow that we had.
I'm wondering, too, how many other people have a bunch of stuff on their list because of the snow. It's not good.
Yeah.
It really kept people in when that Monday snow hit. It kind of pushed everyone back a day. And, you know, it's the great excuse for a lot of people, including myself. Oh, honey, I didn't get a chance to get to that because of the snow. Well, that's not going to last forever.
Well, it's like I have a gig for yesterday. But what I did was I called and had things arranged for tomorrow. And, well, Saturday was the last day that I was out.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get out until today. I was gone to a meeting. And so tomorrow I want to try to get over to Target and then get over to Avalon Gardens and perform my last gig of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got stuff to do. Got to do my recertification and stuff to live here.
Mm-hmm.
For next year, I got to do that. Was in around Monday and Tuesday, that kind of stuff. And plus, I got other stuff going on, and then start doing laundry and packing and everything like that. I'll probably go up to AmVets Post 6 for a few hours on Christmas Day, but that's probably going to be it.
Yeah, you're.
So I need to get back, get some sleep. I'm going to have to get out of here at 4 a.m. Thursday morning to get to the airport.
Wait, what time's your flight?
At 6:20.
Yeah, that should be more than enough time.
Yeah, and I'm taking Colloride, so when I get to the airport, I need to go to TSA and get checked in and that kind of stuff and get up to the gate.
Yeah, I see.
And then they board me at 5:40, then the plane takes off at 6:20, and then now I change my watch to Eastern time. We get over South
get
Indiana.
Over there. You got a lot on your plate right now. All right, Rick.
Definitely.
I'm glad you checked in. Merry Christmas to you, and I look forward to hearing your stories when you get back.
Okay, then you have a good one.
You too. Good night.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, 314-436-7900. That's the number, or 800-925-1120. I had another radio story. Pretty big-name actor walked out of an interview. A lot of people are defending him, and a lot of people are upset with him. So it's almost a polarizing deal. I'll bring the scenario to you, and you tell me which one you think it is. Or, really, since it's the last hour of the last show, for me, for the year, You can always call in and change the subject to something else. We keep the phone lines open for you. 314-436-7900. We didn't play Rebecca Black. Can we do Rebecca Black on the way back? No! See, producer Mike's in there. How about this? If someone calls in and requests Rebecca Black, we'll play it. Let's do that. Call producer Mike if you want to hear some Friday. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Listening to KMOX has never been easier.
Siri, play KMOX.
Yeah. Siri, play Rebecca Black. No! What happened? What is this? What is this? This isn't Rebecca Black. No! I can't believe what you just did to me. I am so disappointed and mad right now. Yeah, I feel like I'm on hold. Oh, thank you. A representative will be with you in just a moment. Yes! Yes! That's what I've been waiting for, baby. Come on.
It's Friday, Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend.
Party, yeah! Man, I am on a roller coaster of emotion right now. I was highs to lows to highs to lows. Woo! You know, it's Friday somewhere. East Coast, I guess. And Overnight America will be off for a couple days, and then guest hosts galore for the next couple of weeks. I took the last few weeks of the year off, and I'm looking forward to spending that time with my family. It'll be fun to see my kid open up all his presents on Christmas morning, and it'll be fun to see my wife pretend like she's surprised by the things we got her, mostly because my five-year-old can't help but tell my wife, oh yeah, we got you this. He can't help it. And he tries to be sneaky about it. He's like, do you think Dad got you socks? You know, you'd say things like that and be like, oh, Emmett, don't tell her. I didn't tell her. This is how it is. 314-436-7900. Got a text message, and it says, do not forget hairy leg Uncle Joe. I will not.
And by the way, you know, I sit on the stand, and it get hot. I got hairy legs that turn, that turn... blonde in the sun. Yeah. And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down so it was straight and then watch the hair come back up again. They'd look at it. So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap. And I've loved kids jumping on my lap. And I tell you what.
And he's thinking to himself, way to save that. Way to save that, Joe. You will way to save that. Uh-huh. NBC News reporting this, and this is another radio story. NPR's Terry Gross, who does the show Fresh Air. So many people like Terry Gross. When they put together their top interviewers, Terry Gross. You know, NPR is really good. Terry Gross is good. But, you know, the problem with NPR, with people like Terry Gross, is that they are very stiff in the way that they interview people. They do a lot of research, and it's very calculated. It's not meant to be fun. It's meant to be like, you know how Lipton used to do on the actor stage, and they even made fun of it on SNL. Will Ferrell would play, is it James Lipton? And he had a big stack of cards, and he just would laugh, and he'd draw another card and read the card, and then he'd draw another card and read the card. It's very much like that. When I listen to a Terry Gross interview, I don't feel like I connect with the person that she's interviewing. When I listen to Conan O'Brien interview someone, I feel like I connect with the person he's interviewing. You know, there's a special type of, if you're an interviewer, and I'm someone that interviews a lot of people, I feel like I can recognize those things, and I know when there's someone that's really talented at it. And Terry is, but she's talented in an NPR way, not in a, you know, connection, entertainment, fun way. So NPR does an interview with Adam Driver. He's one of the stars of the new Star Wars movie that's coming out. And it's prompted a debate online. NBC News did a pretty good write-up of this. So Driver was at NPR offices in New York this month promoting his new Netflix movie called Marriage Story. And he's also got this, you know, Star Wars movie coming out, too. I think this week it's out. And while the host, Terry Gross, led the conversation from the show studio in Philadelphia, in the middle of the interview, Driver left after there was a clip of a scene that Terry Gross played from Marriage Story. It's him singing Stephen Sondheim's Being Alive. Okay? So there's a thing with Adam Driver. And when you're Terry Gross and you do extensive research and you got a giant staff that is paid to do extensive research and they put all this stuff out there for you and she compiles this, she puts the interview together, does it all. She knew that he does not like to hear himself. He doesn't like to hear clips of him playing in a role. He doesn't want to hear himself singing. Doesn't want any of this stuff. In fact, he was interviewed back in 2015, as I found out. They did something similar. They knew he didn't want to hear himself, so they accommodated him for that. And what they decided to do was, okay, what we're going to do is just take your headphones off so you don't have to hear it. And when you're done, you can put the headphones back on. We'll continue the conversation. And they set it up that way. Well, in this case, he didn't want to hear himself and he didn't want to hear a clip. And when they played the clip, he stood up, walked out the studio, and left. So after the clip played, the engineer informed Terry Gross that he left the building. When the news broke, many were quick to call him a diva. Yes, a diva. But then other people came to rush to his defense, saying that it's a mental health issue. You need to make sure you take care of yourself, a self-care. They're saying if you can't hear yourself and you do everything you can to try not to listen to yourself on the stage, on your work or whatever it is, and you specifically tell people not to do it, but they do it anyway, then you're just taking care of your own mental well-being by not playing along with it. That is hogwash. It's so, as someone that's interviewed a lot of different people, he's definitely being a diva here. And here's part of the issue, too. If you knew there was a threat of this happening, you just don't play the clip. You just don't play the clip. But here's the problem. You can interview people, and you can talk about things that you thought were safe to talk about, and they might get upset and walk out and leave. That's no problem. As long as you were not going and crossing the line. I don't think playing a clip of a movie you're there to promote is crossing the line by any means. You know, there's some people that purposely try to cross the line. And then there's some people that just, you know, they're in it just because they're starting a fight. They have a bad attitude at it altogether. They don't want to be there. They're forced to do the interview because of, you know, their publicity manager or whatever thinks it's a good idea. And that's just what happens. The guy's being a diva. I don't know. What do you think? Here's the couple of things that people tweeted. Another person tweeted, how do you get through years of embarrassing mask work at Juilliard and yet be so precious you can't listen to yourself next to Terry Gross? One person wrote, others argue that doing press is part of Driver's job. As an actor and journalist are not required to let the interviewees dictate the direction of their work. Some people said Driver was simply practicing self-care and making his well-being a priority. And many pointing out that it seems strange the program didn't opt to splice in the recording in post-production as opposed to playing it for him live. Adam Driver respectfully declined to listen to himself act his last minute with Terry Gross due to anxiety. He's saying due to anxiety. So really, it was Terry Gross was in the wrong. Oh, man. Anxiety is what got to him, and he would have had a meltdown. I don't know. I just think that he could have played it better, and I think it's his fault for walking out. I really do. You're not going to see me defend NPR all that often, but yeah, this is, and by the way, this is Terry Gross. This isn't someone that's a shock jock that's trying to go out there and do a gotcha moment. Not one of those things at all. You know, we actually have exclusive audio of Adam Driver leaving the studio. So Terry Gross played that clip, and I don't think anyone else in the world has this. I've been looking for the audio everywhere. This may be a world exclusive. Here is from that NPR studio in New York, Adam Driver, after they played that clip. This is what happened.
Bye-bye, sugar pie.
That's what he said. He said bye-bye, sugar pie, and left. Whew. World exclusive. This is Overnight America. If you want to chime in on that, or I hate using that word. I can't believe I just said chime in. Thank goodness I'm going on vacation. I need it so I can try to get away from the embarrassment of saying chime in. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
News Radio 1120 KMOX, the voice of the Cardinals. This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
It's one of those oddly familiar, but kind of not. Here we go. I'm just 20 minutes away from a two-week vacation, so excuse me if I feel... Yeah, during the break, if you think I was going in the back room and huffing paint, you'd be wrong, but, you know, it probably would sound about the same on the air. Welcome back to Overnight America. Yeah, I'm a little excited to go on vacation. So I'm going to be spending it here. We got the in-laws coming into town. So it's not like I'm going to be doing anything super crazy. It's just fun. And I'm going to miss you, but, you know, I'm also going to enjoy regular hours for a minute or two. The PNC Christmas Price Index is out. For the last 36 years, they've calculated the prices of the 12 gifts of Christmas. You know, the 12 days of Christmas, my true love. Do you want to know how much money they spent on the 12 days of Christmas? Let's go through some of those. A partridge in a pear tree, $210. Okay, two turtle doves, $300. Three French hens, $181. So why is a partridge in a pear tree so expensive compared to three French hens? You get three French hens, man. Five golden rings, $825. Four calling birds is $599. Six geese a lane is $420. Seven swans of swimming, $13,125. Eight maids of milking, $58. That's the minimum wage they're going to be paying, the eight maids of milking. Nine ladies dancing, $7,552. Whoa. Let's see. It says the nine ladies dancing two steps. They actually call places and, like, get pricing. That's how they do this thing. They have to be very scientific in the way they handle this because otherwise no one would take them seriously. 10 Lords of Leaping, $10,000. That's $1,000 each. Why am I doing what I'm doing if I can get a gig to leap and get $1,000 for it? I should be in that business. 11 Pipers Piping is $2,748. The 12 Drummers Drumming is $2,972. Is that the same price as the other one? Hold on. Yeah, 11 Pipers Piping, nearly identical to 12 Drummers Drumming. You think with the drummers that you might be able to get a little bit more. True cost of a Christmas song, if you add them all together, the total is $170,298.03. $170,000, a little over $170,000. Wow. It's a lot. Every year, we look at that number, and every year we say, I don't care. You know what I do care about? KFC has brought back the scented KFC fried chicken logs, and I haven't been able to get one for myself. I've been wanting to get one of these for a while. I just want to slip it into the fireplace when my in-laws are in and see how long it takes for them to notice. Like, man, that smells like fried chicken. Not tell my wife, not tell anyone. Now, Walmart has these, apparently, but I haven't seen them. They go for about $19 a log. Now, that's pretty pricey, all things considered, but still. Is it really pricey? I mean, in the end, if you're getting a log to throw onto the fire, and because of that, you are smelling like fried chicken in the house, is it really something that's all that bad? All right, I got so much stuff I want to get to. I just don't have a chance to cycle through as much as I can. Oh, here we go. And here's what happens. I got a big stack of things that I just am willing to throw into the recycling bin because I don't know if it'll be good in 2 weeks when I'm back after vacation. So I'm just going to burn through as many of these stories as I can. This is a good one. Over in the BBC. No, not the BBC. This is one of the other networks over there. Good Morning Britain is on... What network is that on? Whatever it is. But New York Post puts this up. This is the show that Piers Morgan's on, and they're really good at booking unique and interesting people. And in this case, they found Dr. Sonja Falk claims that calling someone a nerd or a geek should be the same as calling someone something worse, like a hate crime.
Get those nerds!
Nerd!
Nerd!
I know, that's a hate crime. Call someone a nerd, hate crime.
Nerd!
All right, so what actually did she say? Do you want to hear it? All right, let's play it real quick. This is her explanation of why this should be considered a hate crime.
High IQ people are a minority group in society that are very much ignored, and they're not understood and are largely neglected. So it is the case that individuals with very high IQ very often are bullied. At school, for example, they are a target for being bullied, often quite viciously. And I found that in my own research, as well as there's a lot of other research out there.
You know, I'm just waiting for a backhanded compliment to herself. I found that since I have a very high IQ, I get bullied all the time. And anytime I hear the word geek and nerd, I think about how every other intellectual is thrown under the bus and made fun of and bullied as a child.
There that documents this.
See, again, you shouldn't bully people because they're different. But the reality is, if we're classing it as a hate crime to call someone a nerd or a geek, I think what it does is it trivializes actual hate crimes, you know, based on disability, race, gender. So obviously, again, as society, we need to make sure that we're welcoming everyone. But again, the term geek and nerd, etc., generally has been embraced. And if you look at
Yeah, there you go. So let's commit a hate crime.
Nerd!
According to Dr. Sanja Falk, F-A-L-C-K.
Nerd!
Homer, that isn't very nice.
Marge, try to understand. As a jock, it is my duty to give nerds a hard time.
See, there's Homer Simpson creating a hate crime on The Simpsons. Better pull that episode offline, too. So he's at like a Comic-Con. Nerds! Ooh! Ah! Ah!
Get out of
there! Oh, that's funny. What else do I got here? More nonsense. ACLU calls for tampons in men's room in order to achieve menstrual equality. This is no joke. So menstrual equality is a basic equality issue, the ACLU says, just as we have regulated the provision of toilet paper and toiletries in public restrooms, so should we do the same for menstrual products. ACLU on International Men's Day said, there's no one way to be a man. Men who get their periods are men. Men who get pregnant and give birth are men. Trans and non-binary men belong. So left-leaning, the legal group, the ACLU, out there saying that it's full and accurate portrayal of what a man is, the able to menstruate, get pregnant, and breastfeed. That's the ACLU. What happened to the group that tried to defend free speech? And that's what they're doing now. Yikes. Oh, here's another nonsense thing. J.K. Rowling is the author of Harry Potter. I never read the movies or never read the book. I've seen one of the movies. My wife dragged me to it because, you know, of course, she's a book nerd. She's a book.
Get those nerds!
Yeah. And she read them all and she wanted to go see the movies. And one of the movies she dragged me to, and I'm not exaggerating, I decided that it was more exciting to count the tiles in the ceiling to see if I can figure out how many tiles are needed to put in a movie theater ceiling. And she saw me doing this and she nudged me and she said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm counting the tiles. This is stupid. And then she stopped taking me to things after that. So J.K. Rowling, author of whatever, Harry Potter, has been accused of being a TERF. You ever heard that term before? T-E-R-F? After defending a researcher who was fired for tweeting that transgender women can't change their biological sex. Honestly, that is science. Transgender women can't change their biological sex. Biological sex. A person got fired for that. J.K. Rowling came out in defense and said, dress however you please, call yourself whatever you like, sleep with any consenting adult you'll have. Live your best life in peace and security, but force women out of their jobs for stating that sex is real. And then she put the hashtags in there. I stand with Maya. This is not a drill. A lot of people are upset with J.K. Rowling, and they're calling her a TERF. I've never heard this term, and I'm glad I haven't heard it. It's trans-exclusionary radical feminist. I feel like I'm getting caught in one of those moments where they feed things to the media to see if they take the bait on stupid, non-real things. Is this real? So what J.K. Rowling said is real. One woman who is a mother of a trans daughter replied, "My daughter, who is trans, is a big fan of yours. It breaks her heart to see you post something indicating that discrimination against her is perfectly fine behavior for an employee." Well, that's not even remotely saying anything about what she stated there, which is biological sex is biological sex. So in 2018, there was a tweet that's, where was it? It doesn't even matter. I just wanted to use and explain there was a term called TERF and J.K. Rowling for saying something that, by the way, is not even bad. It's just saying that there's such a thing as biological sex and everyone goes crazy and tries to make a controversy out of it. That's where we're living today. It's almost 2020 now. That about does it for Overnight America. I mean, we're getting close. One segment left, and as you can tell, getting a little loopy. So enjoy it while you can. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
Overnight America. I'm going to miss you guys. I really will. Producer Mike, I'll miss you the most. No, I'll probably miss the coffee the most. No, you, Producer Mike, I'll miss you the most. Let's see how many stories I can get to before we say goodnight. If you're keeping track at home, get a scrap piece of paper and a pen and mark down how many stories. All right, story number one. According to Noah Feldman, who is one of the Democrats' top impeachment witnesses that went through the trial, this is what, in the last week or the week before? He has said, as a constitutional scholar, that technically Donald Trump has not been impeached yet. So until you turn those articles of impeachment over to the Senate, impeachment hasn't actually started yet. So what does that mean? So technically speaking, everyone's out there saying Donald Trump has been impeached. Well, they voted for impeachment, but he hasn't technically been impeached yet until they're handed over. And some people are wondering if it'll ever be handed over. Are they just going to hold on to it? You know what's interesting? What's really interesting, I think that the Republicans were highly mocked, and even on the show on a couple of nights ago, he was highly mocked for the Supreme Court justice pick. So going into that 2016 election, them holding up that whole process until after the election, just for the shot that there could be a Republican in there, and pretty much every Democrat realized that, oh, Hillary's going to win, so it's a foregone conclusion or whatever. So why not let Hillary name the first one? Well, Donald Trump ends up winning. He gets a couple of Supreme Court justices in there, and everyone wondered, why did they hold on to it the way they did? Well, I think Nancy Pelosi may be pulling something similar. Let's just hold on to it. Maybe she's going to sandbag until next year and say, if we get enough senators, if we flip it up Senate seats, then we'll have enough to impeach him. So even if he wins, that's our backup plan. I wonder if something like that's going to go down, but technically not impeached. Bride-to-be slammed for trying to use wedding invitation as Christmas gift. This one was from Fox News. How about that? So she's getting married early next year, and she thought, you know what? It would be a gift to you, if you were given an option to show up at my wedding. So you wouldn't be invited naturally because it's expensive to have guests there. And it costs money per plate. And of course, you'll have to bring a gift still. But you're at least invited. Your presence at my wedding is your gift. She got in a lot of, made fun of a lot for that. Bathroom sign says employees must have, quote, smell check to ensure they're not sitting on the phone too long. The sign says, if in bathroom for more than 10 minutes, a smell check will be completed to ensure employee not sitting on phone. If it does not stink, employee's name will be reported to office. How'd you like to work at that place? Or how'd you like to have that job? There's a lot of bad jobs out there. That's a terrible one. Let's go to Sue real quick, who's calling in. Hi, Sue.
Hi, Ryan. I just wanted to wish you and your family a Merry Christmas.
Oh, thank you.
And have a really happy vacation.
I'm excited for this vacation time. I'm really, I know it's going to go by in a blink of an eye, but you know what? It's going to be worth it. So thank you, Sue. I appreciate it. And enjoy the guest host who will be in for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, who's that going to be?
Not sure yet. There's a couple of different ones for different nights. I think Brad Young's the first one on Sunday night, but I'm not sure who's filling in next week most nights.
I see.
I think Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, are recorded, so they have like the holiday radio show and things they're replaying at night.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who's in Monday night, though. But, Sue, okay. Thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Well, we'll miss you. Have fun.
We'll see you in the new year, Sue.
Okay, bye.
Oh, that's nice. That was so nice of you, Sue. Thank you for the text message. It's a wonderful political life. I like this idea. I just wish I had more time to go through it here. I don't think I do. It's a Wonderful Political Life. The idea is they do like It's a Wonderful Life, which, by the way, debuted on this date in December 20th, I believe, many, many, many years ago. What else do I got here? How many other stories can I get through? Self-driving freight truck just drove across the country to deliver butter. That's kind of exciting, isn't it? No, not really. You keeping track at home? I'm on Twitter at Ryan Recker. You can reach me during this break. That's fine. You know, enjoy the next couple of hours. It's the replay hours of Overnight America. We spent a lot of time with the Reverend Larry Rice, who is trying like crazy to get his homeless shelter back up and running, as he should, because he just wants to help the homeless, and he should be allowed to do that. All right, that does it. I'll see you in 2020. Have a great night. Merry Christmas to you all.
My heart beats with the lonely rain, wishing I could see your face again.